Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A dear fellow redeemed in Christ, today's sermon is based on our gospel text, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, which reads as follows. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So far the text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are in that church season of revelation called Epiphany. During the season that precedes Epiphany, namely Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our dear Savior, Jesus. But now that Jesus is born, the question arises, who is this child? And that question begins to be answered in the season of Epiphany. Gradually, over time, from one revelation of Jesus after another. Here, it's helpful to keep in mind that the nature of these epiphanies regarding the Christ is such that in the moment when people received them, there was indeed a revelation of who Jesus is, but truly, these epiphanies would not be fully realized until after Jesus was risen from the dead. For us, therefore, we have the advantage of hindsight, which means for us, these epiphanies of Jesus are 100% crystal clear. The first clue we get as to who this child is happens to be with the arrival of the wise men from the east as kingly foreign dignitaries who are in no way, shape, or form connected to Israel. They suddenly appear on Joseph and Mary's doorstep, bearing precious gifts, which they proceed to deliver to the child Jesus in a most reverent fashion by falling prostrate before Jesus and bowing down to worship him. All who witnessed this astounding event have an epiphany, a revelation that Jesus, the true heir of David's throne, is not king of the Jews only, but he is the king of the Gentiles as well. Suddenly, through the worship of the wise men, we realize that Jesus is none other than the king of all nations. But this epiphany leads to another question. Who exactly is this King of Kings? And that is answered by the epiphany Peter receives in his boat on that faithful day that we just read about. Essentially, with Peter's epiphany, we realize that Jesus is no mere man. By the great catch of fish, we realize that Peter is in the very presence of the one who, in the book of Genesis, when he spoke into the void and said, "Let there be light," there was light. We realize that Peter is in the very presence of the one who, on the fifth day of creation, when he said, "Let the waters be filled with fish," they were filled with fish. For when Jesus said, let down your nets for a catch of fish, there was a catch of fish, and not just any catch of fish, but a catch the likes of which had never been seen before. This catch was so ostentatious and overwhelming that truly, in Peter's entire career as a fisherman, he had never even heard tales of such a catch. The sheer weight and magnitude of this revelation was so overwhelming that it drove Peter to his knees in terror. For like the prophet Isaiah, he saw the Lord God, and he became undone. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. For truly, before it was Peter's epiphany, it was Isaiah's epiphany. As such, let's consider Peter's revelation in light of our supporting Old Testament text, Isaiah chapter 6. This is important because the epiphany Peter received with the great catch of fish essentially is, in fact, the same event that Isaiah experienced. The only difference being this: Isaiah received a revelation of God in heaven, whereas Peter received a revelation of God on earth. And the totality of their revelations is this: the God of heaven and the God of earth are in fact one and the same God. The God of heaven in Isaiah's vision is high and lifted up, and his kingly robes fill the temple. He has gleaming, fiery seraphim, creatures of the air, circling overhead, declaring his glory. In contrast, the God of earth in Peter's boat is low and humble. He himself is God's temple. Rather than having majestic seraphim circling overhead, he has gleaming silver-scaled fish, creatures of the water, flopping about at his feet. And though they are silent, their very presence cries out, "The whole world is full of your glory." For Isaiah, he is at work. His vocation is that of a prophet and a priest. And for Peter, he too is at work. His vocation is that of a fisherman. Isaiah's vocation is heavenly minded, whereas Peter's vocation is earthly minded. The two scenarios together show us that God makes no distinction between whatever vocation he calls us to. The preacher and the fisherman both belong to God and are called by God to serve him by serving their neighbor. Isaiah is going about the business of his daily routine in the temple when suddenly he is caught up by the Holy Spirit in a vision where, in the blink of an eye, he finds himself in the very throne room of God Almighty. In similar fashion, Peter too is going about the business of his daily routine as a fisherman when suddenly he finds himself in the very presence of God Almighty. From our vantage point, we would judge both men to be honorable and upright, dedicated and hardworking. Outwardly, we would look at both Isaiah and Peter and declare, they are good men. And yet, when they find themselves in the presence of God, they both are undone. Isaiah, in terror, falls on his face before God and cries out, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And Peter, in terror at the catch of fish, falls to his knees before God and cries out, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Such is the case for anyone who should find themselves in God's presence. It is the fear of the Lord that exposes us for the sinners we are before a holy and a righteous God. Therefore, we open each divine service with a confession of sins, for in so doing, we confess God is in this place. For he has promised, has he not, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Has he not also said regarding the elements of his supper, this is my body, this is my blood? And knowing then that we are in the very presence of God, this is a fearful place. And as such, our posture towards God is a posture of reverence. Finding ourselves in the very presence of God, we with Isaiah and Peter cry out, O Lord, we are undone. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. But for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. And with this, as with Isaiah and Peter, God sends a messenger, a representative to deliver his forgiveness. In the case of Isaiah, God sent the angel to declare to him, Behold, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. In the case of Peter, God sent his son, Jesus, to declare to him, Do not be afraid. As if to say, Peter, your sins are forgiven, and because they are forgiven, there is peace between you and God. Therefore, do not be afraid. Depart in peace. And the pattern continues even today. God continues to send messengers to forgive his people of their sins. I myself, as a called and ordained servant of the Lord, in his stead and by his command, am sent to announce the grace of God unto you all. This is why I stand before you each Sunday and joyously declare, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this amen is not our final amen. Although we are nearing the end, there is just one more thing to address. The calling. Upon Isaiah's absolution, the Lord asks the question, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah replies by saying, Here am I, send me. And God said to him, Go. With Peter's absolution, wherein the peace of the Lord rested upon him, for Jesus has said to him, Do not be afraid. At that same moment, Jesus called Peter to leave his fishing business behind and follow him, so that Peter might set his sights on catching men for the kingdom of God. And Peter, at that moment, as a fisherman, had to decide between fish or men. Peter realized at that moment, there's fishermen, and then there's fish or men. Fortunately for us, Peter chose to catch men, for we all, by God's grace, are the fruits of his labor. We know that Peter chose to catch fish to catch men over fish, for St. Luke tells us, speaking of Peter and James and John, that when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, as far as this concerns us, we, according to the same pattern, are called to leave everything and follow Jesus. Don't panic. This is not a call to quit your job or abandon your family, but it is a reminder that no matter where you find yourselves in life, as forgiven children of God who have been saved by the shed blood of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, it is your reasonable service and duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him above all things. This is most certainly true. Therefore, we with Isaiah and Peter and all believers in Jesus readily and willingly declare, O Lord, here I am, send me. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, even to life everlasting. Amen. Please stand for the prayer of the church.